everyone. I'm Haley Allam, and this is Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you're a parent new to Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. From crèches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. Hi, Carmen. Welcome back to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me again.
It is my pleasure. For anyone who has not heard Carmen's first episode about how to holiday like a local Luxembourgish person, go back and check it out. You educated me all about Clichen. And I remember that show had a lot to do with chocolate and sweets. But today we're here to talk about your sugar-free diet.
Exactly.
So this season, just because, it turned out to be a lot about health and wellness. We've talked about GLP-1s, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're doing episodes on postpartum depression, on hormones, menopause, perimenopause. And while I was going through all of these, you have been pretty public about your new sugar-free lifestyle. So I thought it would be cool to have you on the show as well to talk about that journey and what it's been like for you in case somebody is listening to those other episodes thinking they want to do something, but maybe don't want to go on a jab or whatever for whatever reason.
Yeah, I've got quite a lot of feedback when I shared about it on my Instagram.
Yeah. So can we take it from the top? What was your motivation to go sugar-free? And can we also define, does sugar-free mean no carbs? Are you a keto? Is that what that is?
No. For me, sugar-free means that I avoid industrial sugar as much as possible, but even alternatives such as honey, agave syrup, and all of those things. So I try to only have fruit and dates and acorn syrup as a sweetener.
Acorn syrup?
Acorn. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Y-A-C-O-N.
Never heard of it. So no honey, no white sugar, no brown sugar, no added sugar. What about like stevia or saccharin or like the fake sugars?
I try to avoid them as well, especially in anything that's obviously sweet, like desserts and treats and stuff like that. They I really pay attention. Where I don't pay attention is everyday food, like hidden sugar in ketchup, salami or whatever.
You don't pay attention to that?
Not yet, because it's really a lot to take into consideration. So I started mainly with desserts and chocolate and stuff like that. And the next step will be to check labels of everything. So a few things I'm conscious of, as I said, ketchup typically contains sugar. So there I already find an alternative. But for other things, there's just hidden sugar in almost everything. So I'm not in the extreme yet.
What is an alternative to ketchup?
The M, like the German drugstore, have one that is sweetened only with, I think it's apple juice.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Because I think ketchup is just gross, actually, to be honest. And my kids just love it. And I'm like, oh. Before we launch in, I want to take it from the top about your motivations and if this was doctor-led or how you came to this hypothesis that this is something that you wanted to do. But tell me a little bit about you in case people haven't listened to you. So you are the creator behind Lazy Perfectionist Mom.
Exactly. So I've been a content creator for, I think it will be like 14 years or so. And besides from that, I've been working in marketing for quite a long time. And I'm also in the Mom Luxembourg community. So it's another Instagram account that I lead with 6 other content creators who are all moms in Luxembourg.
We'll put links to all of those handles in. Are you on TikTok also or?
Just Instagram.
Just Instagram and not Facebook either?
No.
Okay. So if you guys want to get in touch with Carmen or the ladies from Mom Luxembourg, you got to go on Instagram.
Yes.
I guess you obviously realized that you'd be making content about this, but tell me about the beginning when you decided that you wanted to do this. Had you been trying other diets? Did you feel like, was this a vanity? I just feel like I don't look good. Or did you not feel well? Did you have medical problems? Tell me about how you started.
Yeah, I've been doing diets for all my life. Like I think I started in primary school.
Wow.
And it was often diets that were linked to cutting out sugar entirely, which is like desserts and sweets and everything. And of course, that never went really well. Like I was able to maintain it for maybe a few months. At university, I actually lost quite a lot of weight like this, also counting calories and stuff like that. But it was never for a long time.
Why did you feel like you needed to go on a diet in primary school?
Because I got the feedback that I was overweight, but looking back and looking at photos, I probably wasn't.
So not to just plug my show the whole time, but we have done an episode with a nutritionist about raising kids who have positive thoughts about food and body neutrality. It doesn't really matter about size. And like the worst thing that you can do to a kid is tell them that like they're overweight. Yeah, I'm sorry. the diets were cut out sugar and they didn't last. So why is this one lasting? And why did you try it again?
So this time the motivation was my gestational diabetes that I had.
Oh, you had it?
Yeah, during the second pregnancy. And then I came across the glucose goddess method. She's quite known by now. I think she's French, but her books are available in almost every language.
And she's on Instagram. I follow her.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Her theory is that all kinds of sugar, even like lactose and all those, because in the end it's all different kinds of sugar, they all have effects on your blood sugar levels. And if on an empty stomach you start by eating sugar, you will have those glucose spikes that, according to her, have negative effects on all kinds of health related and even mental related things. And so I applied her tips during my pregnancy to keep my blood sugar levels at an okay level.
When you had gestational diabetes. Yeah. Before you got pregnant, did you feel like you had like an issue with sugar or your blood sugar rising and falling too high, too low?
Not really with blood sugar. There's one thing that I realized later that could be blood sugar related is that sometimes when I ate a lot of sugar in the evening, I would feel nauseous in the morning.
Wow.
And so now I tell myself that may have been blood sugar related. Other than that, I had a really bad relationship with sugar and sweets because the more I ate, the more I craved, and I ate way too much. Like, I was typically the person who can't eat just a piece of chocolate, but needs to have the whole bar of chocolate. Otherwise, she won't be satisfied.
I understand that. Sugar is something that is either easy for you to handle or hard for you to handle.
For me, it was super hard, yeah.
And you've always felt like that. Did you get like afternoon crashes or anything like that?
Yeah, I felt tired after eating. And in the morning, it was okay. I didn't eat sugar in the morning. But then as soon as I had lunch, I always felt like I need something sweet afterwards. And especially in the evening, it became a habit to go get all the sweets in the house once the kids were asleep and just eat tons of sugar on the sofa.
Yeah, sounds like me. I still do that. Let's see, what do I want to ask you? I wanted to tell you that I have another episode this season about a woman who got gestational diabetes and developed an app for it. And actually, Luxembourg Fit for Start, she won it for the health section. So she like used her diabetes problem and paid it forward. But she said the doctors were really mean to her and said it was from her misbehaving. Do you think it's genetic?
No, I think even when you look at the kind of people who get it, there are people who do sports and like in really good shape. And I don't know if the test that they do is even still up to date, because in the end, if you listen to Glucose Goddess, everyone who gets this lot of sugar to drink as they do during the test should have a glucose spike at some moment.
That test is so disgusting.
Yep.
And every time I was like, I have flunked this test, but I never did. But weirdly, my sister had gestational diabetes.
But apparently you can refuse to do the test.
Oh, I don't think I could. You know what the doctor, he told me, he was like, you're old and overweight, so you have to take
it.
And I was like, wow, thanks, buddy. Thanks for that. Okay, so you were diagnosed gestational diabetes and then you just happened to find the glucose goddess?
Yeah.
And why would you continue this cutting out sugar when you've tried it since primary school? Because I would break up with carbs or whatever too, and then it would always come back. And then you're in the yo-yo cycle, which is not good.
Yeah. So I continued with her tips because what they tell you is that once you have gestational diabetes, chances are higher to get diabetes when you're older. So I wanted to take care of myself. And then there's also my mother, who has been overweight all her life and who has a lot of health problems now that are related to her being overweight all her life. And I just saw how she couldn't take care of her grandchildren. Mm-hmm. That was another motivation for me to try losing weight again, but not for vanity, but for health reasons.
You started following the glucose goddess during your gestational diabetes, but you didn't go on this really journey until your kids were, because when did you start this?
The glucose goddess, I started during the second pregnancy. And then afterwards, I still tried to implement some tips. But there was also this effect of, okay, now my baby is born and nobody's monitoring my blood levels anymore. So I can go full on sugar again. So I had a bit of a crash rack after giving birth. And then there was this motivation to see how my mother is and how I don't want to be when I'm older. So that's when I told myself, okay, I want to lose weight again. Meanwhile, I had learned quite a lot about, yeah, this blood sugar and the effects on losing weight and health and other tips that the glucose goddess shares. And so I then decided to lose weight by using protein shakes.
Protein shakes.
Yeah, which I had never tried before. I couldn't imagine replacing whole meals with protein shakes. So I never tried it. But then as a mom of two, it was the easiest and the quickest solution, and it worked for me. And once I saw results, because all my previous diets hadn't been showing results for the last few years, so this really motivated me to keep going and also do other changes to my lifestyle and diet.
So it was like a gradual,
yeah,
a gradual thing. How much weight have you lost?
With the protein shakes, I lost 15 kilo.
Whoa.
And then I've been losing a bit more and keeping my weight since last year, just with the no sugar.
You lost 15 kilos over, it took you a year?
No, just a few months actually.
That's really rapid weight loss.
Yeah.
Wow. And did you feel okay?
Yeah, I felt good because, as I said, it wasn't just about losing weight. It was about this mindset shift and doing healthy habits in general. So it was always accompanied by also integrating more protein in my breakfast and other tips that most nutritionists will now recommend.
What meal did you replace with a protein shake?
I did mostly evenings, because then when I felt hungry, I could just go to sleep.
So you went to bed feeling hungry?
Yeah.
Oh, I do not like that. Okay. What were the tips that you learned from the glucose goddess?
So the first and I think most important one is to eat lots of protein for breakfast and really not a lot of sugar. And when she says sugar, she even means like oatmeal and stuff that is normally healthy, but which also contains some kind of sugar. So she will say only protein and fiber. So veggies and cheese and eggs and stuff like that.
So what do you eat for breakfast?
I eat tomato mozzarella or eggs or avocado sandwich, stuff like that. But I also have a recipe for cottage cheese pancakes that contain a lot of protein.
Ooh, send the link. What's tomato mozzarella? Just tomatoes and mozzarella?
Yeah, exactly.
In a slice?
Yeah.
That fills you up?
Yeah, because it has no sugar. So it's not this, because often when you feel hungry between meals is because you have this sugar crash. And when you eat just protein and fibers for breakfast, you don't have that.
Okay. What else do you want to tell me about this?
What I do now is not have sweets and desserts at all. It is making my own, because I still have this need to finish a savory meal with something sweet. Sometimes a coffee will do, but sometimes it will not. And so I make my own desserts. I bake my own desserts with dates or fruit. So I'll make my own date paste.
How do you do that?
Just blend dates that have been soaked in warm water.
Wow. Instead of sugar.
Exactly.
And does it not elevate your blood sugar in the same way? Because dates are quite sweet.
Yeah, they are sweet, but they also contain fiber and other nutrients. But the idea is still to have it after breakfast, because that's another of the glucose goddess tips, to always have sugar last in your meal. So I never do it in between meals. I only do it as a dessert.
Okay. So you have a dessert like every day?
Yeah.
Nice. So you've lost 15 kilos. That's 30 something pounds. In just a few months.
Yeah.
And you've been able to keep it off.
Yes.
Just from replacing. And do you still crave sugar? Do you still have?
Traditional sugar, no. So as I said, I still want something sweet after meals. And often I will bake a cake that has a lot of calories, because even nuts and dates and everything have calories. And I will eat 3 slices and do that a lot of times and have pizza for my main dish. And I still don't gain weight.
Wow. Do you count your calories?
No.
No. Do you watch your portion sizes?
No.
Okay, so give me what you eat in a typical day.
So for example, I will have my cottage cheese pancakes for breakfast that I will have with some almond spread and like berries.
Do you make those almond pancakes the night before, or you make them in the morning?
No, I make them in the morning.
It's quick?
Yeah, it's in a recipe that goes in the blender and then just in. And then for, let's say, lunch, I will have a chili con carne or something like that.
And you can make it from breakfast to lunch, not?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Chili con carne with rice?
Yeah. And then I'll have
white rice?
Yes.
Okay. But that's sugar, right? That's
exactly
the same.
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I will have one of my homemade desserts, or if I'm at work, I usually don't take anything and I will just have a coffee after lunch. And then at home, I will have another meal. Like, we don't eat sandwiches in the evening. A lot of Luxembourgish people do. We cook in the evening. So it will be then something that the kids like, let's say. It's a pizza. And then I will have 2 or 3 slices of my homemade banana cake or whatever.
And real pizza, like with real full carb dough,
yeah.
Not cottage cheese dough or something. Yeah.
So when I say I have a sugar-free life, it's not low on carbs. It's still really high on carbs. When I bake, I also try to replace flour by something more high in protein, like almond flour, let's say. And I saw that this always also does me good. I don't feel bloated so much after dinner and lunch as with the regular flour. I try to always keep my desserts high in protein, high in fiber.
You're quite the baker. Tell me about your high protein, high fiber desserts.
So yeah, I have lots of different recipes by now that people can find on my account. But I do, for example, when I do brownies, it's with almond flour. What else do I have? Oh, I tried miso with cottage cheese.
Is it good?
It's not a real deal, but I like it.
And all these are on your account?
Exactly.
Okay, so I can go search them. How has your life changed since you have lost all this weight?
It's mainly about confidence, of course. I was never someone who wasn't confident because of her weight, but definitely makes things easier. There's this theory that people who have average looks have more success in life than people who are overweight or perceived as ugly. So it definitely makes some things easier to just feel more confident. For example, I recently changed jobs, and I'm not saying it's because of my weight loss, but it helps.
It helps you feel more confident.
Yeah. And then, of course, also not thinking about food all day, every day, because that is something when you're in the sugar trap, you think about food and your next meal and your next chocolate constantly.
How long did it take for you to get out of the sugar trap?
It was quite quick, actually. Once you really start to implement the tips, and I feel like the having protein for breakfast helped a lot, and then also baking your own desserts, it was a matter of a few weeks, actually.
Really? And so you don't think about sugar much?
No.
Would you still eat a chocolate bar?
I still eat traditional sweets sometimes. Like, for example, I haven't found a good alternative for ice cream. So in summer, I will have the one or the other ice cream. Now, after recording, I will go to brunch. And of course, almost no place in Luxembourg has sweet alternatives without sugar. Depending on the occasion, I will just say, okay, now I go for pumpkin spice latte, or I go for the birthday cake or whatever. But it's only just if it's something that I really like. Because before, when I wanted sugar, I would eat anything that was there, even though it was something, a sweet that I don't usually like that much.
If you go to brunch and there's nothing around and you end up eating something that has real sugar in it, does it get you back in the sugar trap?
No, and that's the really good thing. Because before, with my diets where I would refuse anything sweet, having then one piece of chocolate or that one sweet dessert would get me into a mindset where I say, okay, F it for today. It's too late anyway, so I can have the whole bar. But it was not just psychological, but also, yeah, this sugar having effects on your body. And I feel like now it doesn't.
That's great. How did this affect your kids?
For my kids, of course, I try to be an example. They like quite a few of the desserts that I make for myself. Some, of course, they don't. For them, I try to keep it balanced. Like, for example, there was a Lichtmestag, talking about the Luxembourgish holidays, where they will go ask for sweets like Halloween. And my eldest got a full bag of sweets, like traditional stuff. And of course, I will not tell him, no, you can't have these.
That's good. Yeah, because that would make him feel sad and then it'd be a weird thing. But in terms of your meals that you cook for the family, have you changed those?
No, because it is quite a challenge already to find something that my picky eater husband and my picky eater kids will eat. So I didn't change too much about those. I will mostly try to have something really different for me when I eat alone or when I go to the restaurant with friends. Then I will go full on fish and veggies and stuff like that. But our meals at home, they are really traditional and meat-based. Yeah.
Okay, so you mostly save your vegetables and fish and stuff for when you're out of the house by yourself?
Yeah, or I will just eat a salad with every meal almost that then the kids won't eat, but that's okay.
I guess you said you were replacing dinner with the protein shake.
Not anymore. I did that for a few months until I lost as much as I wanted to lose. And then I stopped with the protein shakes. And thanks to the no industrial sugar, I've been maintaining my weight just like that.
Did you ever talk to a doctor or go see a nutritionist or anything like that?
Yeah, I saw when I was a kid, I saw a nutritionist. And when I had the gestational diabetes, of course, I was also sent to an expert. And I had a look at the flyers or the leaflets that they give you with all the information on what you should eat and what you shouldn't. And there were a few things inside this book where I told myself, this is rubbish. This has no nutrition. Why do they tell people to eat this?
What?
Cereal, but the like Kellogg's style things.
My kids eat cereal every morning for breakfast, and I really just want to make it stop. But it's so easy.
Yeah, but I'm really lucky actually with my kids for breakfast. They are not easy for lunch and for dinner, but for breakfast, we have quite a few things that I'm okay with them eating. They, for example, also like the cottage cheese pancakes.
I was going to say, do they? Yeah. Do you put syrup on them?
They put syrup, but which apparently has good effects on your gut and not the sugar spike like other syrups.
It's called Yacon syrup?
Yeah. It's a Peruvian thing also. Quite expensive to get. I get it on Amazon.
Oh, you get it on Amazon?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we can put a link on that. I've never heard of it. Honestly, if the kids like it, this is all you need to tell me.
Exactly.
Like, kids like it, unlimited budget. That's great. And what about your mom?
Yeah, my mom, she's on diets all the time. She has had diets where she lost like 50 kilo.
Whoa.
Yeah. But she has also never been able to maintain it. And now, unfortunately, she's in a wheelchair. So everything that's movement and exercise is really difficult for her. And I know she's currently on another diet. And I tried to tell her about the things I know. And she has actually a lot of knowledge about diets and nutrition and everything. But just as it was for me, it was really hard for her to sustain it.
Did you ever consider a GLP-1?
I'm not sure what it is.
Oh, like Ozempic,
oh,
Mounjaro.
Yeah, yeah. For a brief moment, but some say it's okay and some say it's not so good for your health.
I have two episodes out on it, so tune into those. I interviewed a nutritionist about the benefits and risks and like kind of what happens behind the scenes. And then I also interviewed a friend actually about our personal stories about being on it. So I feel like that paints like a more fair picture of it. But yes, there are risks and side effects, like there are risks and side effects with any medicine. So you kind of have to weigh the pros and cons. But for someone like your mom, who's in a wheelchair, who's yo-yoed. So the one thing that the nutritionist said is like, if you have weight cycled or yo-yoed 5 times or more in your lifetime, you're way more at risk for medically significant muscle loss if you lose weight rapidly. So like when you lost 15 kilos in a few months, I would expect your period to stop or your hair to fall out or something, because that's like a lot.
No.
But you didn't have any of that.
No, nothing.
Tell me about your physical activity.
I used to do yoga and I loved it, but now with 2 kids, it's been difficult because my little one, of course, he wants to sleep only with mommy, but I'm trying to take it up in September again.
Remind me how old your kids are again?
6 and 2.
Yeah. Okay. So you're still in it. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder, did I just get in way better shape because my kids started sleeping through the night? Because I had a 10-year thing of babies and diapers, and because my oldest and my middle are 6 years apart. So that's like a long time to be in the baby land.
Yes.
A long time.
But I'm also still nursing, so that might help my keeping my weight because it uses up calories as well to produce milk.
Oh, yeah. And also, you don't want to be messing around with medicine if you're breastfeeding.
Exactly.
Right? I see. What about your energy levels? Do you still have like crashes? Do you feel like you have enough?
I still have crashes, like when I had something for lunch or dinner that is more like heavy on, let's say, white pasta or something like that. But overall, I feel quite good for someone who hasn't been sleeping through the night in 6 years.
Oh, you're 6 years.
Yeah.
4 more to go. No, 2 more. You're almost at the end of it. Your baby's 2.
Yeah. Yeah. My eldest, I think he started doing nights when he was like... Was it 4? So maybe 2 more years, yeah.
What advice would you have for someone who is curious about giving up sugar or maybe has tried it a couple of times and it didn't really work about starting on this journey?
I would really say start with the high protein breakfast and then try some recipes. You find tons of recipes on the internet now. If it's just a banana bread, everyone has a banana bread recipe and you just do just the banana and not additional sugar, of course. And then you try to have a little stock of desserts that you really love that are made with fruit or dates. And then you try to just have these. It can be even, you can have a lot of them. You can have 5 slices in the beginning if that's what it takes for not eating anything else. And then you just try.
But you don't recommend going full keto or full no carb because that's too severe.
Yeah, I would say anything that is too severe because even this lifestyle is, of course, restricting me if I go to eat in a restaurant or something like that. But it's quite easy to handle by just saying, okay, I don't have dessert, but I will have the pizza, I will have the pasta, I will have whatever it takes. So nobody is obliged to choose another restaurant just because I'm coming. So it's still quite easy to implement into your daily life.
How has it affected your social life?
Not much, actually. As I said, when I think I will want a piece of the birthday cake, then I'll take it. And if I don't, then nobody is angry at me for not eating the birthday cake.
What about drinking?
I have never drank a lot of alcohol. And as I said, I'm still nursing, so it's still not a problem. But for sugary drinks, I avoid them, of course, as well. But I found really good alternative, which is kefir or kombucha, the fermented drinks, which contain almost no sugar because the fermentation process takes up all the sugar.
So if you want like a soda, you're going to drink a kombucha?
Yes.
I don't think that would satisfy me at
all. They're really good ones.
Okay, where? What are they called?
I have tried the cult kefir, which is really good. You get it at Auchan. And they also have a really good kombucha. I can't remember the name, but it's in a glass bottle.
Kefir is like yogurt.
No, you get the milk kefir and you get the water-based kefir.
Oh, yeah. And the water one is carbonated?
Yeah, it's like a soda. Just it has sometimes a bit acidy taste to it. It is, of course, not as sweet as a lemonade or whatever, but you get used to it. It's really good. Because during my second pregnancy, I was addicted to Coca-Cola.
Oh.
Yeah. It was my one craving that I had.
Anything else that you want people to know?
No, I think we talked about everything.
I just feel like if it was me, I would just forget or concentrate and then...
The hardest thing for me in the beginning was to always have my own desserts ready because it's a lot of baking and cooking and baking and cooking.
So you just know you're going to crave dessert.
Yeah.
And so rather than just have nothing in the house, you just like batch cook a bunch of banana cake.
Exactly.
Give me your top three desserts that you make.
My number one is chocolate mousse with coconut milk, which the kids love as well. Then in summer, I make a lemon cake with chia seeds. And the kids also love my bliss balls.
What?
Bliss balls.
What's a bliss ball?
It's something you do with nuts and dates and you just roll it into balls and so no bake.
Nice. Okay. And if somebody wants to get these recipes, they can look you up.
Exactly.
At Lazy Perfectionist Mom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Carmen, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you like the show, I'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to leave a comment or better yet, share with another mom friend. And if there's a topic you'd like to see covered or you want to be on the show yourself, please email me at momlife@rtl.lu. And if you're feeling social, you can always reach me on Facebook and Instagram at Mom Life in Luxembourg. Thanks so much and have a great day.